Time to reboot.
There we go.
Good morning. Welcome to the House Committee on Higher Education, Innovation, and Workforce Development. It's Wednesday, April 29th. We're back after a brief respite, having completed the House bills and one hearing on the Senate bills. Today we have an informational hearing on the Oregon Entrepreneurs Network and the regional approach that they're taking. We're going to start with Pat Scruggs, Scott Sandler, and Brian Vieira, please. So I guess as you get settled, this we've done a lot on higher ed. We've done some workforce. We haven't had any discussion about innovation for a while, so we're back to the innovation topic, and we're glad you're here.
Okay. Chair Reed, members of the committee, my name is Pat Scruggs. I'm a president of Scruggs & Associates, a national consulting firm for innovation entrepreneur and sector-based workforce development. So I have been before this committee several times now. This is sort of reverting back to the first time that I testified before the committee on the informational hearing on innovation in terms of the importance of supporting the entrepreneurial capacity and ecosystem of the state. I'm going to provide a brief overview, sort of the national, again, a national perspective, but more around specific sets of programs that we're talking about today. And then I will turn it over to OEN to talk about the proposal with their regional partners across the state and overall just the state of some of the activities that are going on in Oregon around entrepreneurial development. I think there's a great opportunity for the state to be a partner with the private sector, and especially to accentuate the high-impact traded sector companies throughout Oregon, and especially in the rural parts of the state where I think there's some real unique opportunities. The good thing is that it builds on a lot of current initiatives. So, you know, we have a Grow Your Own strategy by Business Oregon. That's a very solid strategy. And the entrepreneurship part of that is an incredible detailed aspect of that. And I think we are well positioned to be in the top 10 of places as a state to really grow and start new businesses. Unfortunately, in the past decade, we have slid down in our entrepreneurial capacity as ratings by Kauffman Foundations and others. And so I think it's time to sort of revisit and relook at what we're doing as a state. And so just to go back to some of the things that I've said earlier to this committee, why do we care about entrepreneurs? Because they're the lion's share of the job creators. Most of the jobs do come from existing companies, but the details behind that data is in that existing companies, the majority of that, those new jobs come from companies that are less than 5 years old. And so 75% of those high-impact companies are less than 5 years old. So that's why we should care about this. Okay, they attract talent. Mostly they also create lasting wealth in communities. Entrepreneurs tend to stay. Even if their companies get sold, they reinvest, they pay it forward. Those are all reasons they build community wealth as well as jobs. I talked about this continuum before, where the whole innovation and entrepreneurial continuum is about turning ideas into products, products into businesses, and businesses into significant economic impact. And each of those stages, we do different things as states to do that. Here is just an assortment of what we do in Oregon and elsewhere in other states. But the important piece of this, and I think the thing that we tend to do is fund pieces, but not the coordination. We don't fund the network that comes across this. And the states who have shown the growth in their entrepreneurial capacity, they have a strong correlation to their investments in the network and how they're doing that at both the region and the state level. And so that's why when OEN asked me to be a part of this presentation today, I was very happy to, because I'm a very strong believer in setting the foundation to have a strong regional hubs and statewide network. Just another couple of quick things is why I also think that this network is very important is 85% of innovation or high-impact companies are really total private sector. They don't have a lot of university connections. And that comes from the fact that there aren't research universities everywhere around the state. And so if we really want to help the entire state with startups, we've got to look at what those regions can do. This is just what other states are doing, again, from a thing I sort of, my own perspective, my own opinion, is how Oregon is positioned in terms of its support and investment. We do a pretty good job in that commercialization, that first stage, our signature research centers. We have some modest things in regional accelerators.
It's modest, just you being diplomatic?
Or? I am being diplomatic. Yeah. Our startup capital, what you guys do with the Oregon Growth Board, you know, modest.
Modest is not necessarily a criticism of the content of it. It's the not enough of it. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, it's
that. Okay.
You know, to me that, and I'll get into my next slide here,
great,
is that the modest and the limited is the fact that in both sort of policy support and funding of these activities, when you really take a look at comprehensive innovation and entrepreneurial plans in other states, and how they think about it as part of a strategy. And what it leads me to believe is that all of these things, why we compare well in some areas and not so well in other areas, is because the states that do and have shown to move the needle have two things that we're not doing well here, in my opinion. One is they have a coordinated statewide strategy for innovation entrepreneurship, and the other is that they do invest in the network of regional hubs and a statewide network. And those are the two differences that I see between other states and what's happening here.
We have a quick question, Representative, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Since we're talking about that, Mrs. Scruggs, have you looked at one of the most successful ones is the North Carolina Research Triangle? How was that started? Was that public money, more money, more private? We're saying, you know, we're modest, what we're doing to help that.
I do have this North Carolina connection, so.
Yeah, you know, I just spent the last 9 years in North Carolina.
I only spent 22.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, as you well know, the history of the Triangle is over 50 years now. And it was both public and private money, right, that went into that. And it really started from a lot of plans. The interesting thing, because there hasn't been a lot of reinvestment in the Research Triangle in the last 10 years, North Carolina's rating in terms of its the startup activity and the high growth activity has actually declined. And now, you know, the Research Triangle Park now is going through a whole new revamp of what they're about and how they're working.
Well, I have a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, the you know, it was Lucent and AT&T and all those, which, you know, internationally, and the banking capital has all changed, so that had to have some impact. But I think, yeah, we started early, and it's like, you know, I lived in Germany, and we helped after the war. Germany had all this infrastructure that we built, but now theirs is 50 years or so, and they're beginning to have to replace that too. And that,
yeah.
But let's make one while we have the floor, Mr. Chair. There was an article, I was looking it up. Portland came out 137th out of 145 or 140th in business friendly. It was in the paper recently. Congressman Schrader recently did an interview, and he said Oregon was great for startups, but not for long-term commitments by companies.
And if I can go back to this chart on here, or actually that's the next one, but I'll do this and go back. Where I see that we start, and when we say startups in that growth stage, is business launch. If I launch a business, we do a pretty good job at just launching. If we just look at business starts within any 1 year, we used to do really pretty good And that, again, if you take a look at percents compared to other states, we have fallen from 20% above national average for business starts to now 23% below national average for business starts. Now, let's take, you know, but how do we turn 5 employees into 50? How do we turn 5 million into 50 million in revenue? That's that growth piece. That's what we call the entrepreneurial piece of this. And so it's not just about the startups. It really needs to be about having the capacity to help grow those companies to get them on that self-sustaining pathway. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is important. And if we take a look then at what other states have done to get that pathway to move what I call the 5 to 50, okay, which is 5 employees to 50 employees, 5 million to 50 million in revenues. These are, and I notice there's no California, there's no, you know, whatever. These are what other states are doing just in entrepreneurial services and seed funds like the Oregon Growth Board's seed, their nascent seed funding. And so when you take a look at this, you'll see a lot. Like Oklahoma, almost the exact same size as Oregon. Almost $2 million a year for just entrepreneurial services, and somewhere between $3.5 and $4 million a year for just their sort of their seed fund investments. They are receiving 1 to 14 leveraged, and those companies that are being helped in Oklahoma that they can track are growing employees and revenue at more than 20% a year compared to their average. But these are just examples, right, of other states. So when this is how I got my modest limited. Okay, I'm
so
just
before you leave that slide. That's very helpful. So for context, the request for the growth board is 1.9 million for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Were there any conclusions you drew from gathering these about the sources of those funds?
Most of the sources of those funds for the small ones, so I can pick on a couple of them, right? So Oklahoma General Fund, Ohio bonds. They write Third Frontier as a bond program.
Which was approved by voters,
which was
I remember,
approved
right?
by
yeah.
voters, yeah. right? Twice.
Yeah.
Okay. North Dakota General Funds, Wisconsin, mostly some general funds, a mix of some of their programs come from a bond. Things that they've done there, but it's a mix.
Okay.
So basically to me what I'm excited about, and I need to turn this over because I'm way over time now, is that Oregon has this pipeline challenge, and it is that pipeline of the 5 to 50 challenge, and that's what, you know, I would like to now introduce folks from OEN team to carry on and talk about the activities going on in the state.
Thank you,
Pat.
That's crazy. Scott, sorry for keeping you at bay for a moment. You can tell this is an area of interest. We may be interrupting you with questions, too, if
that's,
you're okay with that.
That's wonderful. No, I appreciate that very much. Chair Reed and members of the committee, I am Scott Sandler. I am the fund manager in charge of making investments for the Oregon Angel Fund, and I'm also currently serving in a volunteer capacity as the chair of the board for the Oregon Entrepreneurs Network. And I'm really here in that capacity to talk about a proposal of OEN that we hope to find your support for. Thank you very much, Pat, for setting the context for this. I think that's very, very important as we think about how to accelerate growth in our state. The way I see the situation, and I won't bore you with repeating many things that you've heard before, but the way I see the situation is that although there's been a lot of work done to help startups and to get us to the point where it is a good place to start a business, there's no coordination between many of the important pieces that have been put in place, leaving startups as they scale, as they try to scale, with lack of resources, especially outside of Portland. You've probably heard that there's a thriving startup community in Portland. You hear all about it all the time. There's something going on every day, and there's virtually no coordination between it. It's simply by word of mouth that anybody learns what anybody else is doing. There's nobody whose job it is to make sure that we don't duplicate resources or that we can find the right ones at the right time for the right startups. we're obviously competing with other states more and more for attention when it comes to entrepreneurship and trying to recruit that great talent that drives growth and wealth creation into this state is becoming an increasing challenge as other states work really hard to attract that same talent. There's a very limited pool. The way I see the problem is that the funding for programs to help startups and to coordinate those efforts has been modest, and it's been ad hoc. There has not been really a coordinated statewide approach to say what resources are where and how do we bring those together in the most productive way in order to generate the most jobs and the most wealth as quickly as we can. So let me move to the solution that we propose, which is to create a statewide network that we're calling a growth catalyst network, and you'll hear in a moment from someone who's been in this role for some time. Basically, what we want to do is double down on what's already being done in some regions around the state and connect those regions into a statewide network in order to maximize the leverage that we get from that. The whole point is to accelerate development of economic entrepreneurial ecosystems. Systems in every region and to connect them together. Alignment and connection will multiply the effect of every dollar that we spend to support these communities. I think it's clear that we should start in the regions where there's already an organization in place that has been designed to help startups. Places like Central Oregon with EDCO, places like Southern Oregon with Soretti, and places like the Valley with RAIN. And I think when we build that kind of a network and connect these existing organizations together and give them better access to resources statewide, including Portland, that we will be in a better position to catalyze these kinds of organizations in more remote rural regions such as Coos Bay or in the Gorge. For example, in the Gorge, there has been nascent activity to help startups for some time, but it's had a hard time gaining critical mass. And I think by connecting people there to other places in the state better, we can accelerate that. One thing I'd like to recognize is that we really believe that connections drive growth. That if you're isolated, you stand a much worse chance of actually getting somewhere with your startup idea. And what we also know is that no matter where you start, if you get an investment, you are likely to do well if you have the right support and resources. Though investments do just as well in rural regions as they do in urban. But it all depends on whether the resources are available to help you. So the framework that we propose for taking this action is, first of all, to make sure that we accelerate growth across the state, not just in isolated pockets, and most important, to build on existing efforts. There's been a lot put into places like Central Oregon and Southern Oregon for economic development already. OEN has been able to do regional boot camps in various places with the support of the Oregon Community Foundation. And you've probably heard that we have had a plethora of accelerators and incubators spring up around the state. And this is one of the things that makes it a good place to start a business. But what happens when you graduate from the accelerator, you know, when you're done being incubated? And the worst thing that can happen is you become a baby forever and have to stay in the incubator in order to stay alive. And so what we want to do is help people to fledge and thrive. There's another piece here, which is that Business Oregon helped to fund something called the Capital Scan in partnership with the Foundations for a Better Oregon. And there, if you flip through there, you'll find that there are some very clear recommendations at the back that line up, I think, perfectly with OEN's mission and with this network that we're describing. So I think this is an opportunity to implement some of the recommendations that that this scan ended up with, such as finding more angel investors, getting them involved in providing money to startup businesses.
Tax credits.
It's okay. And some more angel investors, more education for startups, and coordinating those incubators and accelerators. Those are some three very specific recommendations. in order to do this, that network consists of people. And so we propose hiring people. Sitting next to me is the one person in the state who actually has this job today, and he'll tell you in a moment what that's been like and what they've accomplished. But we propose adding people like that in Southern Oregon, in the Valley, and in Portland in order to create this network and to make resources, statewide resources, available in every region. I won't read you this laundry list of specifics that we have put together, but the main point is to know where the startups are, who they are, make connections with them, find out what they need, take an inventory of what resources are available in region, understand through the network what resources are available out of region, and make the connections that provide those resources to those startups when they need them. So, of course, this needs to be measurable. So we've proposed some ways to measure this. There's an input metric of how many companies do we actually touch and help. And then once we have that list of who we've helped, we can start to track their revenue, their job growth, the taxes that they pay. There's some very straightforward numbers that we can track for these things. You ask us to do that, by the way, for all the investments that we make through the Oregon Angel Fund. And so these same metrics, I think, can be very powerfully used to see whether this network is doing what it's supposed to do. And by doing that, then I think we can see ongoing economic growth and really a virtuous cycle, where we have entrepreneurs who start businesses, we help them grow, they exit those businesses, larger organizations buy them, that wealth ends up staying in the community and being reinvested. And so we've been able in the Oregon Angel Fund now to see some really great reality to that cycle, where we've had some exits and those entrepreneurs have ended up investing in the fund, and I've had the great joy to place a couple of those entrepreneurs on boards of our newer investments. So they're paying it back in that way. So next steps, clearly this is going to need some funding in order to fund these positions. And so you can see our outline of the request here. We really believe that this needs to be a public-private partnership. And so we're developing support both in the regional entities themselves and at the statewide level with private foundations as well as individual corporate donors. But we do believe that the state should provide part of this funding. We think a 50-50 split makes a lot of sense. And so we budgeted this at about $750,000 a year, and so 50% would be about $375,000 a year that we'd like to see allocated from the state. The most important thing here is that this is a collaborative effort of existing organizations, OEN, Siretti, RAIN, EDCO, and this is a ready-to-go partnership. This is not something we have to do from the ground up. Many of these things are already happening and simply need to be accelerated. So we would then measure what we do and show the ROI on that modest investment. I think that with that, I'd like to introduce Brian Vieira, who is not only the catalyst manager in Central Oregon, but also an Oregon Angel Fund investor.
Thanks. Mr. Vieira, before you get started, let me just see if there are any questions from the committee before we make that transition. Looks like not, so please go ahead.
Thanks, Scott. Chair Reed and the rest of the committee. So I guess I represent where this money that we're talking about would go. So the venture catalyst position in Central Oregon is hosted by EDCO. Economic Development for Central Oregon.
And Mr. Vieira, I need you to identify yourself for the record, even though we've said your name several times.
My name's Brian David Vieira.
Thanks. That's perfect.
From Central Oregon, is that good?
That's
enough?
Great. Okay. Thank you.
The venture catalyst position is housed by Economic Development for Central Oregon, which was the position was funded about 5.5-6 years ago through a federal grant. Pushed through, I believe, Senator Wyden's office. It was $250,000 grant, and EDCO made that last for 3 years. And what that really did was give us the runway to make the position semi-self-sustaining. So it's always a struggle from year to year to get that funding. It's mostly hosted through private sponsorship, a little bit of city and county. And then the events and assets that we've built up as well that bring in revenue. So that's a little bit of the history of it. So what exactly does a venture catalyst do? So in Central Oregon, I cover Bend, Sun River, Lapine, Prineville, Madras, quite a wide range. The population is nowhere near as large as Bend, but the area is pretty big, and I try and touch all of those places. I see the venture catalyst position kind of an expansion of what Scott was saying, is that startups do well when they're networked, when they're connected with resources that are out there. So in a nutshell, my job is to connect entrepreneurs, small startups, with the resources that are out there. And those resources are I categorize them as money, mentorship, and mortar, which are really hard assets, infrastructural type assets. So the money assets are things like connecting promising startups with Oregon Angel Fund, connecting them with Cascade Angels, which is in Central Oregon, connecting them with private investors that might be interested in that, invest in that particular area or industry that they're in. And Seven Peaks is there as well, so we have a venture fund in Central Oregon. It's also managing the assets that exist, and a lot of these assets were started by my predecessor, Jim Coons, who's here. He's kind of laid down the gauntlet for me in terms of trying to get my arms around everything he created. Things like the Bend Venture Conference, the pub talks that we have there, which are very successful, and the Stable of Experts, which we've created, which is a database of willing people in the community that will help startups for free. And these are senior individuals, people who've held leadership positions across a wide range of industries that are just willing to help out. Then it's a searchable database that we've created. So an entrepreneur can get on there and say, I need marketing help, you know, for food products. And he can find somebody, and we'll connect him with that person. And then the final thing is kind of identifying new resources that need to be established. And one of the things we're working on right now is a food products cluster. So trying to get all of the companies that represent kind of like, we have a very strong craft brew movement in Bend. We also have a very strong craft food movement now, which we've identified. So bringing those guys together and trying to get them to benefit from each other. You can go to the next slide. So how well have these things done? Well, the Bend Venture Conference is the largest in the Northwest right now. We invested close to $1 million last year. We're hoping to do the same thing this year, and that has a huge impact on the companies that go through the conference. Not simply the ones that get invested in, but the awareness that it brings to these companies. Pub talks, we regularly bring in between 200 and 300 people to a pub talk, and this is really a platform for companies to practice their pitches. Founders Pad, which is an accelerator. Cascade Angels, which is an angel fund that is in its second year now. Seven Peaks, which is a venture fund, and Craft 3 was recruited, which is a community development funding institution. All of these things were brought in by the venture catalyst position. They were all either started or recruited by my predecessor and then the assets that I'm working on now as well. So some key metrics. These are actually metrics that happened previous to my time there. I would say that the company meetings and jobs created are right in line in terms of what I'm doing now. Invested capital, I know that I'm tracking close to $7.5 million in invested capital just in the 10 months that I've been there. So it's a hot economy. Things are doing well, so more money is getting invested. And payroll, $4.3 million in payroll, which increases the tax base. Currently, as I said before, we're funded 100% by the events that we put on, by the city and county, and by private sponsorship.
You ready for questions?
Sure.
Very good. I have a number, but I don't want to start off if others have any. So what... you mentioned some of the things you're doing. What I'm trying to imagine a crew of people like you around the state. What is your? It's probably an unfair question because I imagine there probably isn't a typical day. But if you imagine a few days that might make up a typical selection of days, what are the things you're doing day to day?
That's a good question. It's It might be different for me than it was for Jim Coonan. I'm really into the companies. I like to meet with them. I like to go through deep discussions on what they're doing, why they're doing it, and then kind of help steer them in the right direction. So yesterday, for example, I spent time pitch coaching a company that's looking to get funding. I sit on the Tech Alliance board, which is kind of one of those clusters that I was talking about before, and dealing with the issues that they have, trying to connect entrepreneurs with resources through the stable of experts. Some of them aren't even aware that it exists. So it's a broad range. I try and steer it mostly towards deep engagement with the entrepreneurs, because I think that's where the most benefit is. And that's what I understand the most, and that's why I think I was recruited. Mm-hmm.
So about the proposal, is it, you mentioned 2 years, and I'm wondering if that, do you view that as something that the state would commit to and then the state's commitment would end, or is that an ongoing commitment when you mentioned the $375,000?
Thank you, Chair Reed and members of the committee. It is my ardent hope that we will find a way to support this long term. I don't think this is the kind of thing that you catalyze, kick off, and then it takes care of itself. I believe that by getting it going, we will be able to find other sources that will come in alongside and help us to do that. But I would hope that we would grow this, the number of people that are in these positions, and see one in the gorge, for example, or on the coast. And so that need to support this effort would not go away. In fact, if we get this catalyzed and kicked off, we're just going to want to do more and more of it, because it's going to show itself to be a very strong driver of wealth.
That's a strong
ROI.
I appreciate that. That's an important point. Having gone through the experience with Oregon Inc., there are differences in memory and opinion about how people described the state's commitment going forward. So this is an important point to lay down early, and I appreciate the way you answered that. Are there other questions? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Fiera, what relationship with or what role does your higher ed community in Central Oregon play with the work that you all are doing? Are there any sort of partnerships or facilitation with COCC or the OSU Cascades campus? Is that something that you currently are working with or trying to facilitate and expand?
So the Small Business Development Center is housed through COCC.
Okay.
And I refer a lot of the early entrepreneurs, ones who are in very beginning stages, to an individual over there for business plan coaching. Mm-hmm. So in order to build out the business plan. The OSU Cascades campus, which we hope expands, is housing the Innovation Center for Entrepreneurship, which is supposed to be a wet lab co-sponsor with Otradi, I believe. Mm. I haven't followed it too closely. I'm probably getting the details wrong, but that's being built right there at the OSU Cascades Satellite Campus. Kelly Sparks is in charge of that, so I meet with her regularly, and you know that project hasn't kicked off yet, but it obviously needs money, but it's moving along. So.
Yes, please.
Are they considering certain other, degree pathways or certification pathways that could be aligned with industry growth? I.e., you mentioned your pub, brew pub industry and so forth. Is there a fermentation science degree available locally?
No, but we just launched a computer science degree this year, okay. which is important. So
kind of fermentation.
It's all science, though.
Right? Right.
Yeah, different kind of science.
Right.
So, no, but that's, I mean, if the demand's there, then hopefully the university recognizes it, and as their resources grow, they can launch new degree programs.
One further follow-up then. So, we saw some of the other hubs and so forth that do kind of just organically exist across the state, but I'm wondering what sort of collaboration and or communication network might there be. For instance, we've got the Gorge Tech Alliance up in the Gorge and so forth. Do you know those people? Mm-hmm. Have you come in contact with them? Are there plans to try to improve communication or interaction?
Yeah, we do, but it's tough because, you know, there isn't really somebody that does what I do there. So it's kind of guesswork in terms of who's managing this asset up there or who's doing that. I think the deepest collaboration happens around the Angel conferences. So, yeah, I know who to talk to in regards to those. And you know, I'm connected probably best through the Portland community with through Scott, Oregon Angel Fund, of which I'm a member, and then Linda with OEN. So it's a challenge, and I think the better I'm able to network outside of Bend, I think the more it'll benefit our companies.
Thank you.
Representative,
make some comments. Brian, thank you. And for committee members, I think we've had good leadership in EDCO, Roger Lee in Continuity, and John Starks in Redmond, and they've done a tremendous job. We had the housing crisis in Central Oregon, but we've come out of that. And we lost T-Mobile, but John Stark was there's very little lap between him bringing another cell phone company in to replace that T-Mobile loss. And we're doing a lot of other niche things. I think the conferences are cool. I think a lot of people are watching Shark Tank now. And I put a little humor in this. I don't know what happened. You guys didn't select the lady from Lapine that makes food for dogs for hiking. But the Sharks funded her.
Yep.
But our venture people didn't fund her. But now we've got a lot of leadership, a lot of continuity. We've got a lot of money coming into Central Oregon, but we also have a history of working as Central Oregon. It's not just Bend, it's Bend, Redmond, Madras, Prineville, and all that together, and I think that helps because, you can bring in workforce like the communications people come in from Redmond and Prineville more than it's not Bend people. But we're getting a lot of financial money, people retiring to that area. Chair Reed has led an effort, and I joined him with IDAs. Are you familiar with IDAs, Individual Development Accounts?
I am not.
They were actually in the building yesterday, and these are people that are really at the long bottom economic scale trying to come up with businesses, and you might want to try to reach out and see if we can help. There's a big organization, Neighbor Impact, is the one in Central Oregon that helps mm-hmm. them get started, and there's money. It's a big program where 75%, you can donate to this fund account and you get 75% credit. So people with money that want to get tax credit.
A matched savings account. One of the approved uses is for people to use those savings to hire people.
Mm-hmm. And start a business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's small, but they could grow too. But we're really blessed in Central Oregon. Our economic development and the counties and the cities do support it. And we've been able to keep growing Central Oregon's, I think, niche. I used to be Bend, Oregon was, I called it the, it was known as a timber city or lumber city. But I keep telling Bill Smith that it's now the city of bees, beer, bullets, bicycles, and Bill Smith's old mill. So if you haven't visited the old mill in Bend, Oregon, I hope you have, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. We'll try to add some more bees to that, too. Maybe some billions.
Yeah.
Might be a start.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
Chairy,
yes, please.
Okay, Chairy members, Representative Wisnett, I would like to comment. I think one of the things that I'm very intrigued with the partnership here, the regional partnerships and OEN's statewide coordination is, as I've seen in other states that have really worked well, it is being able to make the connections that you just mentioned that is important, but it has to be somebody's job. And right now, we're working with a lot of volunteers, around this state, I see it. Mm. And that's why I think that when I look at these things, this is a foundation piece to me, and the ROI on this foundation piece is really strong. I mean, for one person's salary and a little bit of operating, 116 jobs and whatever, when I looked at the metrics and rode them hard about the metrics, you know how I love my data, and this is just good block and tackle stuff. And that's why those connections will be so important and making those in there. So I just want to say totally agree on that. So thank you.
Representative Gallegos.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really intrigued with the discussion. And I'm trying to think about this committee is higher ed, innovations, and workforce. So I'm thinking about the bookends here with higher ed and workforce development and how we begin to think about those connections between these three elements. And, particularly your discussion about the criteria for sort of the incubator network and how important research institutions, or at least institutional research, is to this process. And then I think about Oregon and literally, you know, the number of universities we have, which ones are research universities, very few. And what do we have to work with? I guess that's what I'm trying to think about. And I was wondering whether the community colleges, which are not necessarily university or research institutions, but is there a way we can, how do we need to think about that resource or the need? What kind of needs do we have in that arena?
If I might, Chair Reed and members of the committee, I think there's a very strong chain between the universities and companies and the workforce. So clearly, companies are employ people and create the workforce, and they need workers in order to form a workforce. And those workers, by and large, get trained in universities or at community colleges or in private education programs. What we're seeing springing up now are private organizations that are training software engineers, for example, because we're simply not producing enough of them in our public institutions. So I think we need to, in this committee, you have all of those elements, and I think they tie together real in really, really important ways. I think the core research pieces are very, very important in order to drive long-term innovation and to create an environment that's exciting and creates things that could go somewhere eventually. But I think that there are many, many, many more businesses that are working on creating things out of inventions that happened a long time ago or out of simpler ideas that will, in fact, more quickly drive jobs. And they need skilled workers as well. And they're not necessarily PhDs in the sciences, but they are basic programmers and full-stack programmers who do things like Java, things that are, you know, that a research university isn't necessarily all excited about doing, but really is what drives the workforce and what drives impact companies to create products that are used worldwide.
Good. Representative Rudin, please.
Well, this may be related, maybe not, but I think it is. Obviously, you've got a lot of networking to do, but when you start talking networking and start talking computer companies and product development, I couldn't help but thinking about one of my favorite topics is STEM education. And we have STEM hubs. And I would think that there's a lot of the same people that care about STEM education would also care about business growth. And, you know, how can we start building that feeder team of young entrepreneurs and tie them together with this process at an early stage? I mean, you've got high school kids that are writing apps these days. You know, like, we didn't do that when I was a kid. So, you know, I would just encourage you to think about coordinating that effort, the STEM hubs, with whatever you're doing.
Yeah. So. Chair Reed, members of the committee, Representative Rudin, that would be, to me, the connection to the Oregon Talent Council. And so, mm-hmm. you know, OEN and working with the regions in that and being able to then connect both the work from the Oregon Talent Council with the STEM hubs, which we know those are connected. And so that's why it's this all becomes more of a coordinated activity. So that's, again, part of my other hat that you've seen me here right. with is, as you know, that this is also very STEM and CT is yeah. very important as in part of this. So I think that's where those connections are being made and will be made. So it's not the shall we or we should be doing it, is we are actively trying to build that.
Okay. I kind of forgot about that connection, so, yeah, so thank you for the reminder.
Part of the reason we got to do that, because that connection does yeah. get lost sometimes. Yeah.
So I knew it was a good idea.
Yeah. Representative Hayden.
Chair Reed. I have a question on your measurable impact slide. I think it's three black on that one, but you've got a capital investment of $9 million and 116 jobs created, which is $77,500 per job created. If you have the 50-50 contribution from the state, is the goal to, first of all, is that efficient? And the second, is the goal to decrease that number per job as far as your cost or capital investment, or would that double?
I think you want to answer that.
Am I understanding that correctly?
Okay. Chair Reed, members of the committee. This is just for Central Oregon in their one area. So if you were to, the way I understand this, and I'll turn this back, because I asked a very similar question, is if this is their $150,000 a year budget, thereabouts, that's what this is based on. So over a, what is this, a two-year period, that would, this would be based on $300,000 of budget.
This is actually an $85,000 a year budget.
Oh, an 85. Okay. So
currently.
So these numbers here, but so the your question is, how do we start to bring the job, the investment per job down?
No, my question is that efficient? Is this slide, so you got the capital investment of $9 million there, right? You got the jobs created at 116 jobs created. If you do simple math on that, that's $77,500 per job.
The capital invested is capital that was attracted to the region to be invested in companies.
Correct. Which resulted in the creation of 116 jobs, correct?
I don't think you can tie this.
You want to address
it? Sure. Yeah, if I might, Chair Reed, members of the committee, and Representative Hayden, I think there's a timing question to consider here as well. These are measures of impact that are not necessarily tied together. That $9 million invested in early stage impact companies, though that's not necessarily the same companies that created those jobs. They might have been only a couple of jobs in each of those companies, but over time they will create more and more jobs. So if you're looking at this particular period, then what we would expect to see is that 9 million would lead to many more jobs down the road. So that the particular division there is, it's interesting, but it's not necessarily very accurate unless you look over a much longer period of time. So what we would hope to see out of creation of this network is much more capital attracted into companies in each of these regions in order to create more, many more jobs over the fullness of time.
It's an important point. I'm glad you probed on that. Yes, please, Representative.
So this is over a two-year period of time. If that's too short of a time, how long of a period or how much time is appropriate for you to get that relatively accurate correlation?
Well, as I said before, this is an ongoing effort, and you know, companies. So, in our work with the Oregon Angel Fund, we've been around since 2007. We have invested in 40 companies. We've had 10 exits. We've invested $30 million of money that's been invested through the Oregon Angel Fund, which has attracted in another couple hundred million dollars in outside capital that's been invested in those companies, and we've created getting close to 2,000 jobs in those companies. I say we blithely, but those companies have created those kinds of jobs. So you can see over time it builds up. And when those companies exit, they often end up being bought by larger organizations that keep those offices in our state and continue to hire more and more companies. It's harder for us to track them at that point. Am I missing the point?
Go ahead. One more follow-up. So thank you for leading into that. So I'm not seeing the proposal, but it is still a proposal at this point. My understanding is that the investment made by entrepreneurs that want to invest in that for those companies that do go on to succeed, that investor has the opportunity to recoup some of that investment. I don't see, and maybe it's in there, but I'm not seeing it, where does the state have that equivalent opportunity to recoup some of their investment from those companies that are successful?
I believe it's the tax base. Yeah. The wealth creation impacts many people. So if we create 10 high-paying jobs, we're going to create a lot of other service jobs in those local communities that will support those other high-paying jobs. Perhaps Pat can address the specifics about that ratio better. But it's our belief, our core belief, that by creating wealth in the community, we benefit the state overall.
So one more follow-up.
You said that last time, too.
Yeah, okay.
You can have more than one.
All right.
Okay.
So, sorry for playing the time here.
That's the advantage of having so few Senate bills.
I understand the global economic impact argument or to support that. But my question is more on the direct reimbursement from our investors that invest in that. Why wouldn't the state have an equal opportunity for that investment to be recouped directly in addition to the economic impact? Why wouldn't that state have the opportunity to share in that like an individual investor?
Chair Reed, members of the committee, I got a twofold, right? Follow up as well. Chair Reed, you probably know that can equity positions by the state be paid back?
The state can hold equity positions in some limited ways. That's one of the things that Oregon Inc. is working through.
Okay. So, how? A couple of things I want to get back and say. In terms of the job creation, depends strictly on industry sector, how long that time frame is. So tech sector, high tech, a lot of software, a lot shorter time cycle to start to see significant job growth, 1 to 2 years, then it starts to increase. Things like life sciences, energy, et cetera, average life sciences about 5 to 7 years before you really start to see an impact from investments, et cetera. So that these job numbers, it will depend on that. What you can see is when you do track these in other states is over time, that 116 jobs will like double next year, triple, whatever. It starts, it really becomes more of an exponential growth because we're starting to double the doubling, right? So those will go back to that question. In terms of being supported the way that other states have done, it's basically they can start to support this as they invest in seed funds that are loan type of programs that have payback. And so Oklahoma did a great job with a $1 million a year investment by the state over a 7 or 8 year period. Those loans get paid back 2x because they're early high risk loans. Now they're working and reloaning just based on the payback itself to the state. So there's no more investment by the state, and the whole thing is now an evergreen fund. And so there are various models out there to start to set this up to where it is not an ongoing investment, but it starts to pay back. And so there are a variety of things that you could look at for Oregon to make this a little more self-sustaining.
But that wasn't really what was presented. What was presented was an ongoing commitment, not an initial bump, start that evergreen fund, which right. makes a lot of sense to me. But if there's an ongoing commitment without a loan requirement or recapture.
Right. But that requires all of these entrepreneurial activities, including the funds in the other states, do require having the capacity of this being having it being somebody's job to do that and have sort of a regional hubs where those activities happen. And so you can't get to those paybacks without having the foundation in place. And that's the thing that we're missing in the state. And that's the catch-22 that just drives me nuts.
Yeah, so I have just a couple other quick questions, and then we'll get to the other folks. The one is sort of how this proposal fits into the larger context of efforts that are being made. And I think part of the answer to this question about the state's participation also relates to the Oregon Growth Board, which we've talked about too. But in the context of what's happening with the Growth Board and Business Oregon, the Grow Your Own strategies and the regional stuff that's going on there, how does this all kind of fit together, and to what extent do you imagine this coordinated with Business Oregon activities?
If I might, Chair Reed and members of the committee, I think it's very tightly coordinated with that. I think that the innovation component of the Business Oregon mission is very, very closely related to this. And so Business Oregon has been a supporter of OEN and some of the piecemeal programs, the ad hoc programs that we were referring to and that we want to build on as part of this foundation and to do more of same. I also think it's closely related to the Oregon Growth Board's mission because the board is putting money into venture funds such as the Oregon Angel Fund, of which I'm a piece. And so we invest in companies who then need help from the kind of catalyst managers that we're proposing to put in place here. And so we help those companies. That's our private commitment to do that as part of our investment. We invest effort as well as capital. But when the resources around the state are better coordinated, our invested companies will have better support to grow faster, and we'll all benefit from that. So I think they're very closely related.
Thank you.
Chair Reed, members of the committee, to be you in this committee, I think you heard 2288, which was amendments to the Oregon Innovation Council, mm-hmm. and moving that forward, which included doing this comprehensive innovation and entrepreneurial plan. To me, the thing is, let's get back. If you got back, getting back to the basics, which is what 2288 does, it says, what's our strategy as a state? And then, you know, how do we coordinate that with the private sector activities that are going on and the partnerships that are going on? This is an example of that partnership that would be could be really much better coordinated through the enhancements that you had talked about in 2288. So, you know, there's a lot of things that you have going through this committee that play into this coordination. The Oregon Talent Council, the amendments to the Oregon Innovation Council, et cetera, that create the statewide piece or the state piece to this, that then these private-public partnerships have a better way of plugging in and being more effective. And that's how I, you know, that's how I see this working together as you move forward. And you said, how does this all fit together? And so it's a lot easier with the things that you have put forward this biennium. And then hopefully in further bienniums, that builds a foundation to know exactly where the gaps are to support this.
I have one last question, which I'm fine with you deferring to the folks who are yet to come. I know we want to get to them, and so we could view this as just a preview that they might answer to. But you should have a shot at it too. Being from Beaverton, I have an easier time identifying what exits look like in that more urban and suburban setting. It occurs to me to wonder how those look different in the more rural settings, and whether they're necessarily all good for that rural community. So again, feel free to defer that to the folks who are going to testify later, but I'd be interested in that and your reactions to that too.
Well, I think I would like to defer to, because these are people from the regions and
right.
They can address that much more directly.
Right. Okay, that's fine. Other questions for this panel before we thank them? Thank you very much. We appreciate the good discussion.
Thank you.
And that takes us to Steve Vincent and Dan Whitaker, please.
For the record, my name is Steve Vincent. I'm here representing the Southern Oregon Angel Investment Network. I also am employed by Avista Utilities, the natural gas utility in Southern and Eastern Oregon. I sit on the SOU Board of Trustees, and I'm a past member of the Oregon Growth Account Board, serving 10 years.
Mr. Vincent,
on the board.
Can I interrupt for just a second? The mic doesn't have to be quite as close to you. It'll distort a little bit.
I want to yell. And
that'll work better. Thank you.
So I see some of the nexus here. Chair Reed and the members of the committee, thank you for taking the time today. I know that the number of policy issues you are exposed to over for a session has got to be overwhelming. And so I appreciate your taking this morning and a few minutes of your time to have an interest. And from my job duties, my geographic area responsibility spans from Ashland to Minnehaha. So if sometime in the interim you want me to stop in your district and have a cup of coffee and talk about this further, most of you are along the way between the two. I'm the founder and the administrator of the Southern Oregon Angel Investment Network, and this is a collaboration of about 125 high net worth individuals, mostly from Jackson and Josephine counties. We've had a couple from Klamath and actually one from the state of Washington participate in eight investments totaling nearly $1.2 million over the last 4 years. Six of those companies are in Southern Oregon. We have one in Bend and one in Portland. This economic development initiative, which is why my company's assigned me the task in the community to volunteer in this capacity, sits within our economic development agency. You've all heard the reference to SoReady. And despite our working on this for 10 years, I'm still amazed at our ability to bring collaboration among quite a few different investors with very different areas of expertise and be able to utilize them in ways as strategic partners in addition to the capital, but often they end up rolling up their sleeves with a company or two and providing whether it's long-term planning or access to distribution channel in some way or another. So in my testimony, I wanted to tell you a few stories. I'll leave the concepts up to Pat and the others and just tell you what our experiences have been. In 2011 was our first investment in an Ashland-based software startup. At the time, we had 27 investors looking at about 30 different companies that were trying to raise seed capital to launch their companies, and they chose this Ashland company. It was a $155,000 investment, but within a year it quickly grew to $450,000. We've had other investments that typically range in the $200,000 point along the capital scale, but we have a few investors go outside of the larger process and take on companies that are smaller, all the way down to a $10,000 investment. And again, these are not passive investors. This isn't sending money away to a mutual fund and expecting a quarterly statement. This is an active role in the company based on some kind of lifetime of experience that helps guide the company. A couple of other stories just to make the point. Just recently, and again, I'm playing a facilitator, sort of a conduit role, as I develop the Angel Network and all these investors. I have a pretty good idea of all of their backgrounds and will often identify appropriate companies to bring to them. So just in the last couple of weeks, I had a company in the healthcare sector that actually is looking at the long-term retirement community with a business plan and a concept that I really couldn't take to the whole Angel Network. There really was only one investor out of the 125 that has the background to take a look at it and probably the means to invest. The company needs $300,000 in startup capital, and that didn't seem to faze him. And they're working with bankers in New York for the possibility of an additional maybe as much as $50 million in capital. When I suggested that to him on the phone, he said, well, I've already have access to those kinds of bankers. So they had lunch a couple of weeks ago, and I don't have anything to report yet, but it's not necessarily a success that we will claim as an Angel Network success. was really only a match between one particular startup and an investor who's willing to take his money out of safer, you know, places and put it at risk for a local company. Another story, just to tell you real quick, a company in an aftermarket auto part space is basically putting your motorcycle on the back of an RV or a Jeep as introducing a product into the U.S. We happen to have an investor with a background in the motorcycle space in the country, and this company thought they needed to raise a couple hundred thousand dollars in capital to launch, and I was able to introduce the two over coffee just last Thursday, and within 30 to 45 minutes, the entire distribution channel direction this company thought that they were going to go in completely shifted. It was a 180 shift, and the investor even said, you don't need to raise equity capital from people like me or the Angel Network. I already have the connections within the distribution channel that can finance this, and let me make a phone call to a few buddies of mine and help you. And I happened to run into him in the grocery store before leaving Medford last night, and he had already made that phone call, and the company could accelerate quite rapidly just because of the help from somebody who has really a commanding place in this particular narrow segment of the aftermarket auto parts. But here are the unfortunate stories, and I'll tell you of one that's not in the testimony I provided to you. About a month ago, I had a startup out of Jacksonville that's making a software product in the pharmacy retail transaction space. Gentleman who has an incredible background already in pharmacy software development. He needs to raise about $300,000 in capital. I put him in front of five investors from our 125 to sort of vet this and determine whether or not they would bring that forward to the larger group for consideration. But unfortunately, around the table from the five investors, none of them really has the right kind of background to assess whether or not it's a viable investment. And unfortunately, to every one of them at the end of the meeting, they weren't interested in pursuing it any further. And so I kind of went around them. I've gone to a couple of other investors. One is from the hospital administration, place. Another is a doctor who's had some national prominence, and I'm going to have them take a look at it and determine whether it's a viable investment. So as I serve as a conduit in my spare time as a volunteer, I'm trying to connect startups with the right investors within this larger group. Some of them who can fund it all by themselves up to, you know, the $50 million possibility, to a few others that are looking for new prototypes that might only be seeking a $50,000 startup investment, and to make that connection. But as I was drafting my testimony, I guess I came to the realization that unfortunately I'm going to fail in some places. There are companies that have contacted me in the last weeks or months that are looking for startup capital and strategic partners, and I still have a day job, and my follow-through is a bit delayed and a little bit difficult. And without having the Brian in Southern Oregon, inevitably some of these are going to fail just because of the lack of my ability to connect on a timely basis, or my ability to hand this function off to somebody else, either within SoReady, who can access all the investors and make it work. And so that's the unfortunate outcome that I've come to realize that I'm going to just have to admit. I'm confident that we'll get there in time, and as Business Oregon leads with this emblem, Grow Oregon, hopefully there's a space somewhere there where you, as policymakers or appropriators, can help us with the resources that we need to make this successful in the rest of the regions in Oregon. Thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Let's hear from Mr. Whitaker first, and then we'll see if there are questions. You can move that mic towards you, but not too close.
All right.
Thanks.
Hopefully you hear. So my name is Dan Whitaker. I'm from Corvallis and represent the Corvallis-Eugene area, basically the Willamette Valley down there. I'm wondering if I might be able to also invite Jim Coonan up here to sure. answer questions.
Sure.
When you get to that point. Sure. So I'm an entrepreneur. I'm also the chairman of RAIN at this point. I've been involved in helping start the Willamette Angel Conference. I'm an investor in OAF and many other angel deals. And I've, as an entrepreneur, I've done 16 startups, and I'm involved in, obviously, in RAIN and from Oregon State's perspective in helping spin startups out of Oregon State. Part of what my job right now that I view is being this sort of local connector that's going on and trying to help companies connect between each other and between mentors and stuff like that. And it's, much like Steve said, there's not enough time to make that happen. In RAIN right now, we have, I don't want to, by the way, thank everybody for helping fund RAIN. It's been a huge success. We have the cohorts going through, but RAIN right now is expanding. We have three areas where we really consider the companies, or three stages. We have stage zero, which is a company that is basically an idea on a napkin that some entrepreneur has. And then stage one, which is a company that we can put into an accelerator and make work. And then stage two is growing from the 5 to 50 scenario. RAIN is right now doing a really good job of the stage one, in incubating the companies that have a prototype and stuff. They're expanding down to the stage zero type companies. The stage two companies, the growth companies, is where we need the connections to happen, and that's really where a lot of concentration would go on with the venture catalyst managers, making the people who are outside of and have graduated from accelerators or never got into the accelerator but are in that stage of growth. We need those connections made. A lot of that goes on right now with volunteers. The Willamette Angel Conference, as you're probably familiar, is a conference that rotates from year to year between Corvallis and Eugene. This year it's in Corvallis. We're in the middle of that. It's, I think, going to be extremely successful again. It's one of those that's run by volunteers. And every year that we switch it from one city to the other, we lose some continuity. We lose the connections because we don't have somebody whose job it is to help make the connections and help get the companies in there, get the investors in there. It's all done by a volunteer effort, and after a couple of years, volunteers tend to wear out. So we need the consistency for the area in and of itself down in the valley, and then the connections back to the rest of the state. There was a question earlier about how does higher education fit into this thing? Well, I tell you, there's a lot of potential startups coming out of the universities down there that we need to make connections to the rest of the state, because there's companies that the person that can help that company might not be in the local area. It might be in Portland or Bend or wherever. Those kind of connections need to be made throughout the state, not just within the region. So this kind of statewide network where we can call upon each other in the state to help each other and know who to call in, and they know what resources are available, would be extremely helpful to a lot of companies. So that's part of what's going on.
Mr. Whitaker, I'm sorry to do this, but I'm just cognizant of the time.
Yep.
We're going to start losing a few people, so I want to make sure that we get a chance to ask questions if people come. So if you could wrap up, that would be fantastic.
Okay, well, my point is that we do need the statewide coordination. It definitely is needed in the Corvallis, Albany, Eugene area. It's needed throughout the rest of the state, and we definitely need to be coordinated. So I'm here to answer any questions you might have.
Fantastic. And Mr. Coonan, any comments you want to make? Or
just a brief question? One.
please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jim Coonan. I'm the executive director for RAIN. Previously, I held Brian Vieira's job as the venture catalyst manager in Central Oregon. I also serve on the Oregon Growth Board. I was also one of the founders for the Oregon Angel Fund. So I've been involved in entrepreneurial activity for about the last 15 years. So this is obviously a big passion for myself. So just one comment. It's about the stickiness. You hear so much about entrepreneurial activity happening in Portland, but what's happening out in other parts of the state, people are saying, well, if we support these efforts, do the entrepreneurs actually stay in our region? Will there actually be jobs and wealth created in our region? And a big part of that is connection to the resources. And that's where this catalyst manager can make such a huge difference. If these companies are connected to the resources they need, capital and what we call advisory services, both the people resources, the mentors, the employees, those people connections, then the physical resources, access to equipment, labs, we know that these companies will there in the regions. It's really a revolution that's happening in entrepreneurship. In the past, so dominated by parts of Boston, New York, California, now people are going to say, we want to live where the quality of life is really good if we can have these other resources. The Venture Catalyst Manager is that glue. It's the connection point that can help connect these early stage companies to the resources they need, increasing the odds that they will stay in the region, generating jobs and wealth. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Questions for this panel, Representative Hayden.
Chair Hayden, thank you. On your second page of your testimony and your second story on the second page of your testimony, you talk about recently a new investor in the medical field, I think, that you did mention, and also New York-based banks. How does new market tax credits tie into this? We have state and federal new market tax credits available gone through Oregon banks that help particularly that type of thing. How do you tie into those resources?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hayden, I think I might have to defer that question to somebody. I don't know if Jim knows more. I'm not pulling in those resources into what we're doing.
Yeah, I can't comment on that, except for I know that other states use it much more aggressively than we do here in Oregon, and it is an alternative source of capital that probably underdeployed as far as our state goes.
I would agree with that. I've never used them in our area and don't have the right connections to make to those resources.
Suggestion? I was involved with a company that was actually able to work with four new market tax credits, and we successfully brought $25 million into the state for in a 12-month period of time. And so I think it is an excellent resource, both on a state level, which are much smaller, and a federal level, which are significantly bigger. And it seems like that tie-in to what you're trying to accomplish could be very helpful as far as funding. It's complicated, but doable.
It's worthwhile. That's a great thing for the Venture Catalyst Manager to do.
Good. Other questions? Thank you, gentlemen, very much for being here and for helping us think about this. It seems clear to me that there's work to do, and I'm very interested in the proposal and how it connects with what's going on at Business Oregon. So I look forward to the continued discussion and consideration. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we will close the informational hearing, and our next meeting is Monday. So 8:30 on Monday. Enjoy your Friday off. Unless there's anything else to come before the committee, we're adjourned.
This is okay.
We're adjourned.